Hanukkah Sameach, which begins this Sunday. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. My name is Dan with my lovely wife and dedicated Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And we always like to remind our listeners, should you want to re-listen to this or any of our other radio programs or multiple newsletters, that they are still archived on shofarministries.net. And we ask that you'll share this labor of love with others. Let's ask for God's blessing. Abba, Father, we glorify you, asking that you show extra favor to these recent prayer requests that we hold in our hands, especially for Melanie and Marianne, as we use the name of Yeshua to curse the root of all types of cancer in any fellow believer that is listening right now. Grant us all divine protection from the evil one, and please soften the hearts of our family members who still need salvation. Thank you and abundantly bless our faithful givers who help us to stay on the air. Lord, may you be blessed by tonight's teaching as we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. Well, last week we began the annual study of Hanukkah, where you even said that we all need yearly refreshers so that we can be sharp when asked questions about this miraculous event. And tonight we will see how Jesus even spiritually fulfilled what is also called the Lesser Feast of Lights.
And Tabernacles is called the Greater Feast of Lights.
It is. And if you are new to your Hebraic roots and haven't heard this teaching yet, just hold on to your hats because we have some great gold nuggets coming up.
But first, we should update you on what's going on in the news these days. And
really?
Some breaking news has happened over the last few days.
Well, the news is only good because we know it means Jesus is coming soon. But
amen.
Yesterday, President Obama, we found out, has pledged $3 billion of our taxes to help the poor countries with their energy needs. Congress says it must be presented to them first for approval, but our president doesn't think he has to.
Wonder who will win this fight.
Well, now that we have a new speaker, Paul Ryan, maybe he can stop this insanity of raising our debt even more, unless, of course, the elite has gotten to him like they did with John Boehner.
It will be interesting because Obama, it seems like, always gets what he wants.
And this act, as in the Obamacare, is a classic example of more global socialism continuing at full speed ahead. And just wait till we hear what energy requirements are soon implemented upon us, especially in the way of gas house emissions. Soon, we will be limited as to how much we can drive with probably a high tax on gas to make the poor folks succumb to the rich who really don't care much about paying the tax,
which could easily go to $2 a gallon
or eventually even more, who knows. But in the wake of the false flag Paris attacks, the French people are already experiencing an unprecedented crackdown on the alternative internet media, with French bloggers fearing this is the beginning of the end for their freedom of speech.
Probably the biggest news is about Russia.
It sure is. It all started last Tuesday when Turkey hit with a missile a Russian plane, who Turkey says was in its airspace, but Russia totally denies. We know now that Turkey was really making a statement to Russia to stop its multitudes of bombardments, particularly on ISIS and the anti-Assad rebels.
The Free Syrian Rebels.
Yes, that's what we've named them. And the United States and Turkey have been heavily funding them to try to oust Assad.
In other words, Russia's really hitting our guys.
Exactly. But it just openly came out yesterday that Turkey has actually covertly allied with ISIS. So, to buy the cheap oil that ISIS is selling on the black market that they confiscated in Syria and northern Iraq many months ago. And Russia is really angry with the United States because Russia gave the plane's intended flight details with the timing of that flight path to the United States ahead of time, stating they would be close to Turkey's airspace, but not in it. Putin knows that the United States passed on this information to Turkey to set up the hit, to send a message to Russia to curtail its bombardments. Also, after their plane was hit, Russia sent in a helicopter to try and rescue the pilots when our U.S.-armed Free Syrian rebels killed one of the Russian pilots from the rescue helicopter using our own U.S. TOW missiles.
This is so not good.
I know. Besides hurting Turkey economically and imports, tourism, and trade deals, Russia is stepping up its game with much military buildup on the borders that many say is a signal for the start of World War III. The problem, of course, is since Turkey is a NATO country, as we are, the United States would have to defend Turkey against Russia. And I am assuming China, Iran, and even India. And you know, I've been saying for a long time, there will be a third world war. Especially since the appearance of the Tetrad of the Four Blood Moons in 2 years. What is also sad is that our government has surely known about Turkey's actions forever. Which is why we should never bomb the newly acquired ISIS refineries, is what they say. Because that would, we should have done it, because that would have stopped ISIS from getting all that money that keeps them going and growing. And then whenever Obama is asked why he didn't, he merely stated, oh, we don't want to hurt the environment or experience civilian casualties. And what a bunch of bunk that is. You know, Russia will probably begin by carving the turkey a section at a time. Excuse the pun. But the northeastern area, which is next to Armenia, could be taken and given to them as well to enlarge it, because Russia already rules Armenia. And then a section in the southeastern area of Turkey could go to help enlarge the Kurdish area.
Kurds have allied with Russia a while ago.
Yes, they have, and we're supposed to be as well, but I think that's been only in name only. And since it's finally come out that Turkey is buying oil from ISIS, Russia has an excuse to take some territory like they did in Crimea. So now here's the thing. Maybe this is why Turkey is mentioned in Ezekiel 38, because in actuality, Russia will rule over Turkey. Anyway, exciting things are happening, and it certainly makes scripture come more alive and more understanding. And as we continue on during the week, we'll get more news on this.
And if you're on the email list, you will be getting updates. You can also send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching letters are archived for your added learning. Just a reminder, the first Friday of every month, which is this Friday, Shofar Assembly meets for worship with more news highlights and a timely Bible study. So make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306, in Chesterland, Ohio at 7 p.m. We will be addressing the news and have some more Hanukkah surprises as well. Okay, let's get started.
Let's get started. All right. Let me begin tonight's teaching by reminding you to never lose sight of the fact that Jesus was born Jewish. And the apostles were Jewish, as also most of our Christian forefathers were Jewish, including Peter, who the Catholic Church says was their first pope. So why shouldn't we that read a Jewish Bible at least have some knowledge of what their customs were so that we can see how God uses them, which he certainly does, to teach us truths?
Hey, you should ask one of your Christian friends, have you read a Jewish book lately? Just to get their response. It's really a no-brainer, and yet so many don't want to even hear about our Jewish roots.
I know. It's really sad. Anyhow, John records in his 10th chapter that Jesus honored and walked to the temple in Jerusalem during this time, also called the Feast of Dedication or the Feast of the Lesser Lights. And the greater Feast of Lights is the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall,
which many now know is the real birth of Jesus.
No doubt to me. So, we gave the history of this event last week about how the Seleucids and the Antiochus Epiphanes were defeated by Judah and the Maccabees.
Which is archived on our website. The Hanukkah lampstands contains 9 branches and differs from the menorah, which has 7 lights.
Yes, and Jesus is the light of the world. So we, too, should be a light in our very dark world.
Now let's look at Jesus' prophecy in Matthew 24.
Okay. Since we now know that history repeats itself, and Jesus warns in verse 15 of Matthew 24, and as well in Daniel 9, that this abomination would happen again, we can see how yet another temple, excuse me, another terrible ruler will also break a peace treaty, making an abomination in a temple. So obviously, one must be built again. And he's done everything he can to eradicate the Jewish people, as has been true all throughout history, actually. So we're going to go a little deep tonight. So for the next 10 minutes, try to stay with me and focus so that I don't lose you. Without a doubt, I have come to know by studying it that, yes, Jesus was truly born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Absolutely, no doubt about it.
Remember, even John declared in chapter 1 of verse 14 that Jesus came to tabernacle amongst us.
That's a huge clue.
Again, also called the Greater Feast of Lights, because on this feast during temple days, the Jews would light these enormous 75-foot candles that lit up all of Jerusalem. And it was during this feast that Jesus cried out, "I am the light of the world."
Fitting, he would be born at this feast called Light.
That's right. Absolutely fitting. Tishri 15, the first day of an 8-day feast, and his circumcision would then been on the last day of the feast. But also this first day, the day of his birth, is also on a full moon. Now, I just think it's interesting. The full moon is significant because God prophesied in his word that Jesus would come in the fullness of time. Yes, I know that means at the right time. But the Greek word pleroma also means complete, filled, or full. So this night, the moon would have been completely full. And you can also say that his gestation was complete because it began on a new moon. That's right. You see, when you count back 280 days, which is the normal pregnancy time, it will bring you to exactly the eighth day of Hanukkah, or the Lesser Feast of Lights, the day that Mary would have been incarnated by the Holy Spirit, when Jesus took up residence in her womb, and that would have been after sundown on Tevet 1. That's a new moon. The first day of every month on the Hebrew calendar is a new moon. So then, in the fullness of time, he was born on a full moon. I know it's details and it doesn't matter to a lot, but I just think it's important to see how detailed God is. It just so fits with what he would do. You know, how he would work it all out so intricately, because he can. He's God. And in fact, only God could do it with such design. So it's very fitting that he would be born on a full moon. And by the way, December 25th is not a full moon. So knowing this, occurring often during the traditional Christmas season, you have another important reason to celebrate. For his incarnation is the much greater miracle. And regardless of your eschatological stance, the most important reason to celebrate in this season is because you have Jesus birthed in your own heart and have a personal relationship with him. Being willing, just like the Maccabees, to take a stand for the freedom of your faith. Never back down. And then, actually every day is Christmas for you. But there is one more gold nugget I'm going to try to get in and share with you. Since the Holy Spirit placed Jesus into Mary on a new moon, in a way, when Jesus comes into you, it's like a new moon as well, because it's a new thing. And as he grows more in you, and therefore you grow in him, think about how the moon gets its reflection from the sun, the brightest light, and a type of Jesus. And the more the new moon turns toward the sun, it eventually becomes full. And that's what we want, to have the fullness of Christ in us. It kind of matches that process of sanctification, you know, that adventurous growing period. Did you know that a Jewish expression for the new moon is that it's being born again? Wild, huh? So when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and said he must be born again, did you also notice that he said it was at nighttime? So you would know? To me, I get the picture that Jesus was pointing up to the new moon as well when he said it. Just makes sense. And again, God does these things and hides these gold nuggets in his word. And then he tells us, like he does in Proverbs 25:2, it says he hides the matter so we kings can find it. But you won't find these things if you are not looking personally yourself, just you and the Holy Spirit. Also, they always had a special festive dinner on every new moon. It was the start of something new, a new month. And the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, which is the start of the new year, is the only feast of the major seven that begins on a new moon too. Oh, so many good gold nuggets. But let me finish with one more. Back in John 10, verse 22, it says, "Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter." First of all, just like Hanukkah and Tabernacles are both called the Feast of Lights, they were also both called the Feast of Dedication. And here's why. Solomon's Temple was dedicated on the Feast of Tabernacles. You can read that in 1 Kings 8 2. And I will also add, it was on the 8th day, verse 66, when years later, Jesus would be circumcised. A type of dedication to God's covenant. And the second temple, or Zerubbabel's temple, after it was cleansed by the Maccabees, was dedicated on Hanukkah. Okay, so they're both called feasts of dedication. So, John knew it was important when writing the gospel to differentiate which feast it was. Was it Tabernacles, which occurs in the fall, or Hanukkah, which occurs in the winter? So that's how we know that Jesus was in the temple during Hanukkah, which would be the anniversary of his incarnation to Mary. Again, how fitting that just like he openly declared to the crowds during Tabernacles that he was the light of all lights, in fact, the light of the world, we now see Jesus defend his deity during this feast. In verse 30 of John chapter 10, he said, "I and my Father are one." And they knew exactly what he meant because they started to stone him for blasphemy. So don't let anyone tell you that Jesus never said he was God. He did. Why else would they have wanted him dead? And actually, they did soon succeed, didn't they? But remember, Jesus said he came to die. It was necessary for our redemption. And in John 10, verse 18, he said, "No one takes my life. I lay it down all by myself." And he has the power to take it up as well. And real quickly, on a further note, children play games with a top called a dreidel, which means to turn. And during times when the Jews were forbidden assembly to pray, they would instead gather and pretend to be playing with the top. You see, the dreidel has four Hebrew initials inscribed on each side that stands for a great miracle happened there. Each player spins, and when it stops, they add the points of the assigned value of the letter that falls face up. The one with the most points after 7 spins wins. And also, the traditional foods are cooked in olive oil to represent the oil that miraculously lasted in the menorah, like potato pancakes called latkes and jelly donuts. So, I pray that you will use the story of Hanukkah to open the door to conversation that will lead to witnessing and to perhaps bring someone back whose light might be going out. Ask God to put that someone in your path, and then be obedient. Sometimes you even have to be blunt, like saying, "I detect your light is getting dim. Let me help you." So, is Jesus Lord over your life? The time is really running out. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate, and not just some head knowledge. And how do you know for sure? Well, if Jesus is your betrothed one, you will have a desire to know him more, with a passion to be in his word, to be in his presence. John 1 says, "He is the word, more Jesus." It's just that simple. So crucify your lazy flesh and just do it. Yivarakaka Adonai Vishmareka Ya'er Adonai Panav Eleka Vyuneka Yasei Adonai Panav Eleka Vyasem Laha Shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address: Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44022. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address: Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.